Welcome to Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter. I want to share with you that today we're going to focus on negotiating. This is part four of our sales for the CEO segment for Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter. And I hope that you enjoy this segment. If you have any questions about the program, you can give me a call at 973-454-3475. Also, you should feel free to email me at d.gunter@guntermediagroup.com. And keep in mind that all of the items that we've covered in this series, it's all part of our Sales Excellence Negotiation Excellence program at Gunter Media Group. Okay, so let's get started with negotiating. Let me pull up my screen here. Okay, so what we're going to do today, negotiation, as we know, is an essential business skill that can be used on a daily basis to help you to influence others and in the process to contribute to the individual as well as corporate vitality and profitability. However, negotiation is so pervasive in our business and personal interactions that we don't often realize that we are negotiating at all times. The information activities and exercises in this workshop have been designed to help you maximize your negotiating success, whether you're negotiating externally with customers, friends or family, or other colleagues and other professionals. So I'd like for you to give thought to the following. Most of the important decisions in an organization are made through a process of negotiation. You know, I want you to give some thought. What are the three best practices that you have experienced in your life as you look at negotiations that went well and negotiations that could have gone better? I'd like for you to just jot those down, those three things. So let's define negotiation. So negotiation, it's a communication process in which one party tries to influence the behavior, attitudes, or beliefs of another party. Now, this happens through an exchange of information, resources, and/or commitments. Now, let's talk about some strategies. The integrative strategy. The focus is on a mutually beneficial agreement. That's where you understand the needs and values, interests of both parties. There's joint value, and that increases the opportunity for the two parties to work together. And then there's the positional, which is very fixed of opposing viewpoints. It's binary. It's win or lose. Now, under negotiation styles, they refer to an individual's preferred approach to negotiation, a strategic approach to a negotiation, a model for assessing the style of others. When we look at why is it important to understand styles, there's three key points there. One, greater awareness can lead to a greater negotiating effectiveness. Style knowledge can help you plan more effectively. Also, it can be used to enhance relationships. So when should you do this? Well, you want to make sure that prior to a negotiation that you have prepared well, that you have planned well. And then, of course, to carry out your plan during the negotiation. So let's look at the negotiation process. Imagine, if you will, for my audio audience, that there is a staircase. And at the first staircase, this staircase has five steps. First step is planning. Planning is the foundation. You cannot go into a negotiation if you have not planned well. During the negotiation, there is an exchange of information. And in that exchange of information, You want to make sure that you're getting clarity on the points that the other party is raising. You want to make sure that you provide clarity on the points that you are making. After the information exchange, there's a point where there's a proposal, and then there's trade-offs. And this is where you have to give thought to what is of high value to you, and what do you have that is of high value to the person you're negotiating with. Then, of course, after a discussion, you get to a close. And once you have closed, that's not the end. Getting a confirmation is great. However, you just want to make sure there is a review so that both parties are on the same page as to what was the terms of the negotiation. Let's talk about planning. There are three key steps in planning. First is to set goals. You want to set a range of goals for your negotiation. You want to identify the maximum and minimum levels. Now, what do I mean by the maximum and minimum levels? You want to understand precisely what you're willing to give on the maximum side and what is the minimum that you're going to accept on your side. Number two, assess the other party. You need to assess the other party's needs, their issues, and their goals. What is motivating them for this negotiation? You want to anticipate the reactions. You also want to anticipate their objections. And you want to develop really plausible responses to the reactions and to the objections. Now, the third step is to develop your strategy. You want to leverage your power, and you want to outline the key points of what you're bringing to the table. You also want to understand from their perspective what will be their key points and what will be your counterarguments to their key points. Now, for those who are audio only, I have a diamond here. And this diamond diagram has four areas. At the top of the diamond, imagine that the diamond is pointing upward and the bottom point is and it's pointing down. And then you have a point out to the east and a point out to the west. Okay, so the top diamond of the diamond is that we have relationships and stakes. And this is where creativity, problem solving, exploring mutual needs and gains. That's the win-win philosophy. Then to the right is where we have the competitor. And this is where the competitor is not big on relationships. And also the stakes are high for both parties. They like to drive a hard bargain. They love power and control. At the bottom of the diamond is the capitulator. The capitulator wants to avoid confrontation and is indifferent. However, this is where they do not have much of a relationship, and also the stakes are very low for them. To the left of the diamond is the caregiver. The caregiver is focused on relationships, and they're not too much concerned about the stakes. They're willing to be flexible. They have a lot of creativity with problem solving. They want to explore mutual needs and gains. Now, in the middle of the diamond is compromise. And this is where you split the difference. You try to find a quick, easy solution. Now, depending on the type of person that you're negotiating with, might be a little difficult. They most likely, if they're a driver, you know, in the social styles, we have the person who's the driver, the expressive, the analytical, and the amiable. Well, the driver, you know, pretty much wants to keep pushing. And with the driver, we'll talk about some of the techniques there to deal with the driver personality for them. Okay. Now, I want to review with you some potential type of goals, some negotiating, countering tactics. So you always have the good cop, the bad cop, and you have one member of the other party acts friendly, the other one is demanding or demeaning. So the way to counter this good cop, bad cop scenario is to ignore the bad cop, reinforce what the good cop says, state what you are observing, recognize that they are on the same team. The second tactic that we have is when someone you're negotiating with pleads limited authority. At some point in the negotiation, the person you are negotiating with claims that they have to take your offer to a higher authority. A good way to counter this is to identify the decision makers prior to the negotiation. And you can also plead limited authority yourself. The third tactic that we've seen a lot of activity on is the nibbling. I call them the nibbler. At a point close to reaching agreement, the other party asks for more. After you have set the boundaries and the standards, then all of a sudden they say, well, I would appreciate it if you could do this for me. And the way to counter that is to say no or to ask for something in return. If I do this, then will you be able to do that? And then the fourth tactic is using intimidation. One or more, the negotiator takes a very, very aggressive posture. The way to counter that is to remain calm, never respond with anger, empathize, ignore, or walk away. Red herring, the other party makes a phony demand that they later withdraw. Always, for a counter, press for specifics, stick to your objectives, state your assumptions, state your value of your product, good, or service. So those are five of the most common negotiating tactics that people try to employ. So I want you to imagine, for my audio audience, I want you to imagine a square. And in the top left-hand corner of the square is the word elegant. And at the bottom of the square, to the left, is negotiable. And I want you to look to the left of your square, where there is a box that says, what is the cost to me? Now, in the northwest corner of the box, you have the word high, and in the the southwest box, there's the word low. So when you look at something, the cost to me, it's high, or it's in the middle, or it's low. Now, let's look to the right of the box, where there is a box that says the value to the other party. And of course, in the northeast part of the box is the word high, and the southeast box is low. So the value to the other party will either be high or low. And so what we're going to talk about is an elegant negotiable. An elegant negotiable means that something that is of high value to them, it's low cost to you. which means that it's going to give you the capability of providing something to them of really, really great value to them. So it has high value to the other party, it's low cost to you. And so it's important for you to understand from your very first time meeting your prospect is to understand what's valuable to them on a personal and professional level. So give this some thought, but think about what areas are most important to the other party. You should be able to detail a minimum of three items, Hopefully you'll have six or nine. Then I want you to think about what trade-offs are least costly to you. What could you provide them that is high value to them, but low cost to you? Again, I'd like for you to give thought to, for your product, good, or service, what are the three trade-offs that are least costly to you? And that is an elegant negotiable. So when we think about these elegant negotiables, we want to propose according to our plan. Before we do any trading, we want to sell value before trading off. And you want to get their verbal commitment that what you're selling them has high value to them. If you give a trade-off, it is important for you to get one in return. Also, never trade in response to an objection. We talked about how to handle objections in our earlier series where we press for specifics and clarify and then restate our value proposition. Now, in regards to the trade-off, it's important to use this phrase, like, if I do this, then can you do that? So for example, if I were willing to agree to that, would you be willing to do X, Y, and Z? Another one to use is that I might be able to accept that if you were to accept this, whatever this is. The third area is to say, if I were to agree to that, what would you do in return? So it's immediately establishing with your prospect, your customer, your client, that what you have is high value and that you're just not going to give it away. So again, an elegant negotiable is making sure that you're establishing the value of your product, good, or service, and that you're getting a proper trade-off, you're getting something in return, and you're never trading in response to an objection. So negotiation is very, it's a cousin to handling objections. And again, when we're talking about handling objections, we're talking about making sure that we are understanding what the objection is and getting clarity on that objection. And so then what we do is that we make sure that we are making sure that we are pressing for specifics, gaining clarity, making sure that they understand clearly that our value proposition, they understand what you're bringing to the table, they understand what their needs are and how your product, good, or service is meeting those needs. That is just so important. A lot of times, salespeople, they try to skip the steps in the sales process. And that is not good. You know, as we're looking at the process here that we have, is the planning phase. The planning phase is just so important. This is where the foundation starts. This is where you're able to determine and build your sales hypothesis. So what is a sales hypothesis? A sales hypothesis is that you believe, based upon the information that the research that you've done, that this particular prospect is a good prospect because you have a product, good, or service that is meeting their needs. Again, it's so important to understand the needs of your prospect so that you can align your features of your product, good, or service with their needs so that there is a unique match. And there, with that match, you can then say, Mr. Customer, because you have X, Y, and Z need, my product features are 1, 2, 3, and the benefit to you will be A, it will solve your problem, will help you be more productive. It will increase your capacity. Whatever those three key benefit points are, you'll be able to say to them. So again, when we're looking at the consultative sales process, we want to make sure with your planning is that you understand what is your client's objectives and what are your objectives for your client? What are their needs? What are their interests? What value do you believe that your product, good, or service is bringing to the table? What are the different vulnerabilities that your product, good, or service might have? What is your SWOT analysis? What is your competitive position? Where do you stand with your competitor in regards to meeting their needs, as well as quality of product, good, or service, as well as cost? What type of support will you need internally to ensure that if you convince the client to purchase your product, that you will be able to meet the installation, the delivery, the complete service of the product? So let's look to the box to the right for those who you are watching the video. For my audio audience, in the planning phase, I have a column to the left and a column to the right. In the column to the right, we have agenda, opening, questioning strategy, pricing review, objection, anticipation, and your pre-call planner. So the agenda, you want to make sure that you have a clear agenda for your meeting. I always recommend the agenda to be introductions, to gain an understanding of their business. This is where you get clarity. This is where you get to determine if your hypothesis is spot on. Number three, to give them an overview of your product, good, or service. And then four, discussion and next steps. Always have a very simple agenda. And then, of course, you have your opening of how you're going to open the call with your client to establish rapport. What type of questions will you be asking them? And I always like to focus on the higher level questions, simply because you should not ask any question that can be answered by their website. You want to ask deeper, more strategic questions. You want to make sure that you have a firm understanding of what your product, good, or service will cost them. And you also want to make sure that you ask them about budget, that they have budget for this service. You want to anticipate their objections. And now you want to fill out what we have, our pre-call planner, which we presented that in our previous discussions. The pre-call planner lays out your game plan. So again, the next step in this process is to have your first meeting. And that's where you have your opening, your greeting, where you're establishing rapport. You want to give them the value statement that says, by the end of this meeting, it is my hope that you will have a firm understanding of how my product, good, or service is going to help you to achieve your strategic objectives, to review the agenda, and to confirm, see if they want to add anything to the agenda, and confirm your that you have an hour, 30 minutes, whatever the time is. So then, of course, that's when we get into the call. And in the call is where we're asking confirming questions. We're asking clarifying questions. You know, we're really practicing the best practices of asking questions by pausing after our questions and pressing for specifics. We want to make sure that we're using paraphrasing and empathizing in the correct manner to further endear ourselves to our client. And then, of course, you want to summarize positions. Summarize positions is merely repeating what you have said or the customer has said about their needs and how the product, good, or service is going to address those needs. Then, as we move up into the next phase of the meeting, we're confirming their needs. Of course, we're selling value. We're confirming needs. We're describing the features of our product, good, or service and how it's going to meet their needs. We're outlining or could outline the benefits or the consequences of if benefits of moving ahead or the consequences if they decided that they're not going to move ahead. Always test for acceptance. And also you want to make sure that you're responding to the cues, whether it's verbal, whether it's body language, whatever it might be for that. You also want to reinforce the positive responses and share how other customers are enjoying those benefits as well to your product, good, or service. Last but not least is the close. And so you want to summarize the agreement. You want to make sure you provide them whatever documentation is necessary. You want to confirm the implementation plan. And also you want to express confidence and appreciation and thank you for their time. So when we're looking at this process, you know, we have our planning. We have the opening during the call. We have our probing and listening during the call, our selling value during the call, and then, of course, the closing for the call. So these items are very, very important. And as we see that here, the slide that we talked about in our earlier discussions, where we have the plan, the opening, the probe, listen, the sell value, and the negotiate. They may want to negotiate. And that's where all of the items that we've just discussed become very important to follow those particular rules or principles, if you will, to help you to get the best deal for win-win for with both parties. So as we discussed today, you know, we discuss the importance of negotiation. We discuss the importance of a consultative sales process with the foundation being the planning. So I hope that this has been helpful to you. It's all about practicing the best practices and getting feedback from someone, whether you're talking about the consultative sales modeling or the negotiation. But it comes down to practice, practice, and practice, and continuous learning. So I want to thank you for your time today. I hope you've got a lot out of this particular segment, number four for Sales for the CEO. I'm Darrell Gunter, your host for leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM. And streaming on the net at WSOU.net. If you missed any of these, of this particular broadcast, you can go to our podcast on Podbean and look for Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter, and you will see all 300 plus shows. Thank you. Have a great day. And remember, leadership begins with you. WSOU 89.5 FM.